My boss gave me authority when I stopped reaching for authority and took responsibility. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with instant inspiration. My boss gave me authority when I stopped reaching for authority and took responsibility. I have not been in any company I can think of that people felt they could do it better than the boss. The employees felt they could do the job better than the boss, and never stopping to think, you know, what the boss all does and how the boss does things and how the boss thinks things through and what the boss is working on and how the boss works at night and how the boss has contacts for supplies and other things that we don't even think about. Well, stop and think. My boss gave me authority when I stopped reaching for authority and took responsibility. When I decide I want to do the job, I can do it. No matter what the job, I can do it. But if I need a title, if I need a title repairman, if I need a title cook, if I need a title dishwasher, if I need a title vice president or boss or whatever, if I need a title, I've got nothing. I've got the cheapest thing one can ever have. Whenever a boss doesn't want to give you responsibility, he gives you a title. And when he gives you the title, you can be sure you do nothing. You do nothing. Without a title, you'll work your heart out. You will do your best. You will be very competent. You'll be very good at everything you do. But with a title, oh, that's not my job. That's not the job of the vice president. That's not the job of the caretaker. The caretaker isn't going to be in the house taking care of the house. He's just outside. Or the caretaker is just inside the house taking care of not the yard. I'm not the gardener, you know. And you've heard that. You've heard how people like to limit themselves. And every time you limit yourself, you cut yourself right off from the best. Now, I'm not going to give you any illustrations, but I'm going to give you an idea. In major companies, everybody who has said to the company, I am going to go to work as the janitor or as the lowest person in the staff, and I think it's the greatest job. I am going to learn that job. I am going to know every square foot of that building. I'm going to know every single bit of mail, if I'm the mail person, that goes into different people's offices. I'm going to know who it's from and who it's to and carefully deliver it to them. If it's open mail, I am going to be aware of what's in that mail. I am going to be on top of everything. I am going to know more about this company than the president does. You don't say that. But I am going to know more about this company than you can ever imagine. Now, I'm not doing this because I want to be nosy. I'm doing this because I am looking for the day that I will be able to serve in a better way, that I will be a more competent, capable, responsible person for the company. For the company. And if the company never pays me any more than they're paying me right now as the boy who runs around or the girl who runs around with the mail or the janitor or whatever the position may be, it doesn't matter. I'm going to give my best because that's what they hired me for. They hired me to give my best. They didn't hire me to do a job. They hired me to give my best in whatever I do. And whatever I do, it doesn't matter if they hired me to be the janitor and then the boss called and he says, Ellen, would you come in here a minute? And yes, sir. And you go into the boss's office, and you know, you're just a lowly janitor. And the boss says, Ellen, I'm expecting some dignitaries from Japan, and they're very particular people. They hate to see dust anywhere. Would you please make my office shine so that when they come here, they will think I am the most spectacular guy in the world? And you say, well, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for believing I can do that. I will give you my best. And so You start cleaning his office. He's working there. You clean his office, and you're working, and you're quiet. You're not making a big noise. You don't need the vacuum cleaner and stuff like that. I mean, you're picking up every little piece of lint. You're picking up every little piece of dust. You're dusting underneath every vase, under every knickknack. You're dusting the tops of the pictures and behind the pictures, and you're straightening out the pictures so that they're square. You're doing everything you can, and you're not paying attention to the boss who's doing his job there, who's talking on the phone or who whatever. And you're working. And then the boss says, "Well, Ellen, I'm taking off now," and he's going out to play golf. You know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, lucky guy. And so you don't say, "Boy, what a schnook, you know, here I'm cleaning his office and he's going to play golf." He didn't hire me to make judgments about him. He hired me to clean his office. So he leaves his office, and then I go on his desk, and I polish his desk to within an inch of its life. I take all of the glass off of his desk and clean under the glass, the top and the bottom of the glass, and I have somebody help me to rearrange the glass back after I'm done. And then I go to all of the lamps in the office and I polish them. I go to all the telephones and I wipe them very clean, and I unscrew anything that's screwed onto it, you know, like they used to have the pieces screwed onto the mouthpiece, and wipe it off and clean it off good, get the dust out inside of there and get all of the breath sign out of there and stuff. And then I just go and go. And I'm not saying, "My God, I'm never paid to work this hard in my life," you know. Well, you're working for the boss. You're the lowest person in the staff, and yet you're working for the boss, direct, on his direct command. And out of the 3,000, 7,000, 50,000 people on his staff, there's only two or three people who work under the boss's direct command. You hear that? Do you understand that? There's only a few people, and you're one, and you are just a lowly janitor. But you don't think of yourself a lowly janitor. You think that you're the best. Then you make that office shine. And it's 9 o'clock before you go home that evening. They're coming in the next morning at maybe 8 or 10 or whatever. And you've got that office clean. You didn't nose into his desk drawers, because the Japanese people aren't going to open his drawers. You didn't nose on the things that are under his glass. But anything that's under his glass is for anyone to read, because it's not hidden, you know. And you didn't do anything that you shouldn't do. You were perfectly honest. That's hard to be. You did not put your nose where it didn't belong. And you did not make judgments. You just did whatever your heart could do. You showed a responsibility that was beyond, far beyond the call of duty. And when you were done, you stood back and you looked at the office and you said, "Very good." And you went out and you went home. And you came back the next day. You were not the slightest bit concerned whether the Japanese found dust there or not. That's not your business. You merely did your job right, and you did it perfectly. You didn't say, "Go up to the boss, did I do a good job?" Oh, shit. You don't talk like that. The boss expects you to do a perfect job, and he does not expect to be asked whether you did it or not. If he comes and talks to you and he says you didn't do it, then you know you didn't do it. But why should he do that if you gave your best? Why should he ever ask you anything if you gave your best? And should you tell him you lifted up the glass on his desk and polished off his desk and put everything back as best you could? And, of course, you made a note of how everything was before you took it out from under the glass. You understand? You don't just take the glass off the desk and helter-skelter put things under there and take things out. You put them back in the same little pattern that they were under there. Not because you didn't want him to know that you lifted it, but because you didn't want him to know that you lifted it. You didn't want him to know that you did everything, because everything was perfectly done. Okay. The boss comes back the next day. He has this meeting with his Japanese, and he's quite busy. I mean, the last thing he's concerned about is what this janitor lady is doing. And then a week goes by, and he has a problem. His wife is giving a big party at home, and she doesn't have someone to help her with the party who is responsible. The agency was going to send people out, but they were just, you know, just people who were just helping for a day, and they really didn't know. So he asked Ellen again. He said, would you come to my home and give my wife a hand? She needs to have someone direct the help so that they will do the jobs that have to be done, so that all the place will be spick and span, so everything will be in its perfect place. Would you do this? Would you make sure that, you know, all the hors d'oeuvres were properly served and all the plates were properly, and you say to yourself, my God, I don't know anything about etiquette like that. I've never lived in a house that had such etiquette, you know, where you have six knives and forks on each side of the plate and stuff like that. What am I going to do? But you don't say no. You say, yes, sir, I'd be delighted. And at quitting time, you run down to the library and you get Emily Post's book on etiquette, and you read it very quickly, and you have motivation to read it. You have motivation to read it. And so you read that book, and you learn all, and you make copies of the pages that you think might be significant to you. And so then you come to the job the next day, and you're not going to the office, but you're going to the boss's house, and you bring along your pages, and you say to the boss's wife, now, is this the way you'd like to have these things laid out? And the boss's wife says, my God, yes. That's even better than I had planned. You are wonderful. I know why my husband thinks that you're such a good person. And so then you set it up, and you tell the staff, you don't do the work yourself. You do not do the work yourself. You oversee it. Because if you do the work yourself, you don't have time to do all the things that should be done. So you just oversee it, and you watch, and you say, this is how it is, here's the layout, that's what you do. And then when they're all done, you go around and check to make sure everything is perfect, and then you do everything about everything else. You have the upstairs maid take care of the upstairs stuff, and the downstairs maid take care of the downstairs stuff, and you tell the butler and the chauffeur and all these other people what their tasks are to be, and you're just a klutzy little, you know, what do you call it, janitor. Well, no, you're not. You have already risen far beyond that. Now, can you see how the doors open? Can you see when you do that job beyond, you're being paid a very nominal amount for that, but you do that job beyond the call of duty. You've heard that word, beyond the call of duty, and the doors open up. Oh, I could make up all sorts of wonderful possibilities that might happen to you. I could see where you could be put into the girl Friday at the office, who doesn't have to do any of the office work, but who just makes sure that the etiquette of the office is properly carried out. And you would learn that quickly, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Now, what if you were the etiquettarian for the office and in charge of handling the etiquette? What kind of a salary would you get? You'd get more than the secretary would get, I assure you. You'd get almost a vice president's salary, and you might even get a vice president's title. But that's not interesting to you. It's interesting to you to always give 100,000% more than is asked for you to do on any job. My boss gave me authority when I stopped reaching for authority and took responsibility. You see, the moment we live up to the responsibility of being the most outstanding people we can be in whatever area our life asks us to be it, the doorways fly open for abundance, for health, for right action, for peace, for harmony, for marital relationships. I'm amused. I was supposed to go to Farmington, New Mexico today and tomorrow and attend a spiritual healing program put on by the Indians in their sweat lodge and so forth. But at the last minute, 3 days ago, they canceled it, saying that they were going to have a relationship seminar, a relationship healing sweat lodge, because so many of their people in their Indian tribe were having difficulties with relationships. Do you think that I might have been a benefit being at their relationship seminar? They missed a vote. Mm-hmm. They missed a vote. I could have really been, I would have had a lot of fun. But you see, they saw me only in one light. They saw me in the light of a learner, of someone coming there to learn about their Indian technology of spiritual work, spiritual understanding, and their knowledge of sweat lodges and things like that. And they didn't think of me as being an asset just in myself and giving far more than I was asked. But that's okay. Can you be that lady who worked for that company and did what she was asked, who always did her job far beyond what was asked? And can you be that lady who was called in by the boss because he recognized her as being a little above the rest of the cut? Not that she was better than anybody, but she took a little more responsibility. And responsibility is a word. And can you see that having done a good job, he called on her again to do at his home? And I mean, that is really a choice responsibility. And then further, as the emissary in his office, for making sure that everything was in its proper etiquette. Because proper etiquette is very important when you're dealing with business people who are from various countries, business people who are from this country, who come from different stratas of income level and different stratas of experience of etiquette. Of some people just have a knife, fork, and spoon, and some people have salad forks and steak fork, knives and various other things. And you see, you have to, that's just an indication. That's not the total thing. But you have to be able to rise to meet the understanding of these things. And you never, 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 never say, I don't know. Because there's always the dictionary. There is always the professional books on etiquette. Now, Stefan Stressley amused me very greatly. I wrote the name Zubin Mehta in one of my articles, in one of my books, and he, I misspelled it. I misspelled Mehta, M-E-T-A instead of M-E-H-T-A, something like that. And so, but the name is correct, Zubin Mehta. Now, if Stefan were really sincere, he did a good job, and I don't mean to underplay him that way, but if he were really sincere, he would have called the public library in Zurich and said, what do you know about Zubin Mehta? And the public library said, Zubin Mehta? Oh, he's an orchestra director, and he had been a child prodigy, and blah, 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 you know, and here, oh, you know, and Herb was right, he had misspelled the word, you know, and you see, the thing is, be creative. Be creative. Don't just call me. Call the library. Or check it yourself. And if it's misspelled, then recognize. I said he was a child prodigy, a musician, you know. And I said he was a master and well known today. But the point is this. Don't think you don't know. Just call the library. Go onto the internet. I didn't go onto the internet myself. I could have, and I'm sure I would have found it there. But, you see, that's the beauty of this. You're unlimited when you take responsibility. You are very, 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 very limited when you take authority. Because when you take authority that you're vice president, then you got to act like a vice president, you know. When you're the abbess, you got to act like the abbess. And if you don't act like the abbess, people say, how come you don't know what I'm supposed to do? I'm a monk here, you know. How come you don't know I'm supposed to do these things because I'm a monk and you're the abbess? You're in charge of telling me what to do. You know, you got to act like you know what to do. And you may not know what you should do or what needs to be done, but you just wing it, you know. You just do whatever comes to you that sounds intelligent. That's what most people do anyhow. And that's the beautiful thing about life. And Ellen says, yeah, I got three titles. Three titles, my eye. She's got title kazoo. And she keeps casting them off and taking them on, casting them off, taking them on. Ellen is our bookkeeper. Ellen is our accountant. Ellen is our chief financial officer. Ellen is our chief operational officer. Ellen is our chief executive officer. Ellen is the chairman of the board. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Ellen is a pain in the neck, you know? And I know, pain in the neck. P-I-T-N. Pain in the neck. But you see, but she is a pain in the neck to people who are not creative. But people who are creative, they take everything that Ellen says and say, yeah, great, let's go for it. Instead of saying, well, now you think of something better, you know, there's a better way to look at it. And what about Ingeborg? Is Ingeborg, she's now the vice president of the corporation here. Is she doing a flexible, wonderful job of being the vice president? Or is she acting like a little pissy-ass character who gets herself in a bind now and then? No. She is now taking responsibility. The authority means nothing to her. The responsibility means everything. But the authority is there, but the responsibility is all. And you see, this is the big thing for us. If we want to arise from being the janitor to being the vice president to being the president, we do, we can. Many of the women in industry today who have risen to the top as CEOs and presidents of whatever their industries have come up through the ranks. Many men have come up through the ranks. Many people in business who are reaching the top have been little for a long time. And what is it that makes them tops? One word. One word that makes them the top in their profession, not just taking responsibility, but it's integrity. If the business person has integrity, that person rises right to the top. That person cannot be found to have one failing whatsoever. The failing is in perhaps trying to do too much, but it's not even there because they use wisdom. They work within their scope. They give more than they're asked to give, and they're great, but they have integrity. They don't have to walk on anybody. They don't have to talk about anybody. They don't have to belittle anybody. They don't have to hurt anybody to go to where they want to go. They are just the best. Now, did this lady hurt anyone by cleaning the boss's office, by cleaning the wife's house, the boss and wife's house, by doing whatever? She merely showed she had the awareness within her to be great, and she was not afraid to start at the bottom. And many people are not afraid to start at the bottom. When I went to the United Church of Religious Science, I read this stuff and I said, hey, this is great. And I went to the president and I said, hey, I believe in your stuff. That's great. I'm ready to start here as your janitor or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. And he looked over my resume and he says, janitor? No, you'll be the editor of our magazine, but not the janitor. He says, you got too much talent. We want to put you to work on. And so he pushed me into it. And he would have moved me right on further if I'd chosen to stay there. But I grew quickly being there, understanding their philosophy, knowing the philosophy and teaching it 100% with no judgment on my part at all. And then the doors opened for me to go into greater and greater things. You see, it is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing to take responsibility and rise in the glory that it brings you. And never say you're superior. Say, I'm giving my best, and then some. My boss gave me authority when I stopped reaching for authority and took responsibility. You know that. I know that. We all know that. And I love you. I love you. I love you.